Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, so, we hear
is
you.
He is anticipating, or he's attributing all these changes to the electric environment, although he doesn't directly come out and say it directly. Is that correct? That all of these changes,
right.
The end of steel, birth of computers naturally is electric, but the end of sex, the end of childhood, and the end of jobs, return to roles, he's attributing all this to the electric age 47 years ago.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
But things have changed a lot since then. It's really...
Yeah, it's actually, his stuff is radical, but it's about the chemical body. Is it hard to hear me? Am I not coming through? What's wrong with my phone?
No, I hear you. I hear you loud.
Oh, okay.
Bob, I like that.
But
Bob, the statement that was made sums the whole thing up for me. The American failure in Vietnam is not nearly as spectacular as the failure to provide themselves with educational programming for the new electric age.
Right.
All this was for.
Now, did you write all that down? Did you find that online or something?
No, you read it, but you read it a couple times, and I was able to capture all the words.
Oh, okay. Right, right. Yeah. You see, but he's outlining the chemical body. These are radical statements that people aren't even aware of, haven't absorbed them. It's not part of their waking life. But, you know, from the advanced Bob level, it's way past what he's doing there. Matter of fact, the Android meme retrieved all these things virtually for people as imagery.
Yeah.
They watch TV shows about it.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, ooh.
Documentaries are popular.
Yeah,
documentaries is a big thing.
Right. So reality, those goggles that came in with Mondo 2000 magazine, those virtual reality goggles that Jaron Lanier, I think, had something to do with, betray the awareness that your whole environment is a big goggle, what you see just around you is not the global membrane, which you can't see. You only react to the global membrane.
It's all virtual.
Well, you shouldn't say words like that. It's that it's not all something. There are many retrievals and different phases happening, obsolescing, flip points, enhancement.
You're right. The definition of virtual is almost or nearly as described, but not completely or according to strict definition. That word doesn't work at all.
So the end of sex, the end of this, the end of costume, chemical body stuff, the fragmentation and re-inflation of the different bodies, the bringing back of Humpty Dumpty, and then temporary fragmentation by the chip body. Let's see if anybody wrote in anything. Gene's the only one typing.
Schizophrenically.
Well, you learned something new, Gene.
Did I learn something new?
Are you?
I'm enjoying the difference. The different ways that McLuhan presents that perspective, and I think a lot of examples are useful. You know, for those of us that haven't been immersing ourselves in this perspective for 40 years.
Right. We save you time.
I was thinking of when you were talking about laws, or when the reference of the written code. I'm not remembering exactly the words, but I was thinking that it can't keep up. The laws can't keep up with the changes in technology. After Christmas, I listened to a public radio interview, or it was a call-in show, and people had received or had given their children drones, little drones for Christmas, and people were calling in with their experiences, and the show was about whether or not you should have insurance or whether your house homeowner's insurance would cover drone accidents. And it made me wonder, you know, are the insurance companies prepared for drone insurance if a drone drops out of the sky and kills somebody on the street? And actually a parent had that experience where they ran the drone for about 20 minutes and his kid's drone just stopped working and fell out of the sky and luckily didn't fall on anything. But that's the new technologies that the written code has no chance of keeping up with.
Unless you enforce it, make it a dictatorship.
Like yes,
they all have to go to the Obama health care. You know, everybody has to do that. It's a big problem for people. They can't afford it. They got to pay taxes or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are, you know, I mean, the thought is, why would you allow the release of that technology if you didn't have the, you know, the collectively responsible written legal codes to protect against that? But there's no way to keep up. Even if that was desirable.
That's what we mean. The chemical body's obsolete.
What, Bert?
Well, okay, Bert. You had a full evening tonight. Your report shows.
Yes.
Yes, and your report shows you had a full evening tonight.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. You had a wonderful time. That's what the meter says. We can see it on the meter. What did you learn, Palmer?
Always enjoy it.
Yep.
Well,
just think of that song, Orange County Lumberjack.
I mean, it's really hard. There's a lot.
Just think of the beginning of that song, and you'll be happy.
Yes. Yes. I'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks, Bert.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Take care. So, McLuhan, in this particular issue, offered six big posters. That's what you got. And, of course, it said much the same thing he said in every do line. He's repeating. He changes the package, the form, the envelope, the style, the font. But he's always basically saying the same themes. So it's not exciting in the sense of a novel. What?
Well,
it's not exciting in the sense of people.
The Bible and all
these. Yeah, what about it? You're saying that Ion said they made the corundum, but what?
No, they're repeating things like in the Emerald Tablets, in the Bible, in the Simeon's Wake, here, in your castles. He's repeating also until everybody gets it. But that's this replay is part of the falling state, that things are repeated and repeated and looped.
What about it? That's the cliched archetype process.
That's what he's doing all the time. Yeah, he's just applying.
Oh, I see. McLuhan's repeating. Yeah, he's repeating the cliches for archetypal intensity. Or some of them are old archetypes and retrieves them to become new cliche probes.
Yes, and I think he was successful in that. Like the Global Village, or some of his concepts some people still talk about them as if they were the new thing.
Yep. Did I read you the last? I think I read you the last section of that letter. Mr. Boudreau asked in a letter to see that a copy of the book will be forwarded to you, Marshall, and wrote in part, quote, "You might wish to tell him that we very much feel he is a major Trump in projecting Canada's image." I read that, right? If not to the general public, at least to the professionals of communications. The Trump, a major Trump. Is that what in card games that Major Trump refers to is going to be shown in Donald Trump's image?
Trump is the suit. You know, are you asking the question, Bob?
Sort of, yeah.
Well, Trump is the suit.
I'll accept it as a question.
Trump is a suit that prevails over all the other suits. Usually Trump is determined, so like if hearts is Trump, then the smallest heart can take the largest card of any other Trump, any other suit.
So
he's a Trump card.
Are you ready? Are you ready for a rewrite?
Of course.
Yeah. We got six posters here, and this is the final rewrite of the first wave of INETs, number 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, which we heard are part of the second wave of INETs. So this is number 36.
Please. Wow.
So what were you trying to say? What was Wendy or Deb saying? Anybody talk to Wendy?
No.
No. Yeah, she wrote and threw in the towel. But what were you saying there at the end, Wendy? I mean,
Jean.
What's your name? Jean. Roxy. Yes.
Jean. About the Trump card.
Jean.
What was the, you said? The guy who wrote the letter from the Department of Internal Affairs, McLuhan. Said that McLuhan was the Trump card of Canadian something. The Trump card of Canada?
Yeah, what would that be?
So
we might wish to tell him that we very much feel he's a major Trump in projecting Canada's image. He's a part of Canada's image.
So he's the major Trump, yeah, he's the biggest deal. Before you.
But that was only among certain people. There were many people never heard of him and would object to him if they heard what he did, what he said.
Yeah, like, well, didn't he say if even
figures,
only among, if even only among the what, the educator, what term did he use?
Communications officers, I think. Professionals of communication. Anyways, sum up what you were adding to the conversation, Gene. Like, what in general, what did you say or get from this? Services are now software. Is that what you got?
Again, the most striking statement of the last few hours, Bob, for me, because it kind of nails what I had been thinking all along. All of this was said 40 years ago. McLuhan rewrote it over and over in different formats and different visual, different kind of content, just for people to pick up on it.
Right.
And it was a great failure for mass education.
What was the greatest?
For our education to have missed this. And that's kind of what I was thinking the whole time, was like, you know, this has been there all along, and it validates all of my frustration from the 70s and 80s, the 80s in particular.
Right.
And so it's in one way very relieving to hear that there's a whole genre and of work that actually puts words down that was identifying, I think, the frustration that a lot of people have but don't have words for it.
Right. And McLuhan, you also have to understand that because of the process, nobody could have done anything about it.
Right, right.
It's almost a Catholic in a sense. It's an explanation of man's sin, and in the end would make you want to run to a god or something. McLuhan's, on some level, he's working for the church. He found a new way to make people feel bad and not so proud of their accomplishments.
And that's the mix, the confusion, the chaos, just that statement you said. In some ways, McLuhan was working for the church, perpetuating the that environment.
Feel bad. That you're less than. You're not as great as you think you are. You're a sinner.
So then you got to wonder, there were many layers to what McLuhan said, because it was cynical, it was satirical, he was using their language.
And it was true.
Right.
And it was true.
So he sounded like he was buying into it all.
No.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah.
The garbage apocalypse.
The garbage apocalypse. Yeah, I'm eating. I'm just going while I'm eating. So the all the problems that people had that Time magazine categorized and went through, McLuhan was giving the causes for all the ills.
And that's what makes, after 3 years, that's what makes Finnegan's Wake make more sense to me now. Because it can't, again, it was a, it's perpetual motion. Like he talked about, kinetic. It's kinetic. It doesn't stop. It just, and it, there is no making sense of it in a way that you can capture it or hold it down or make sense of it.
Other than understand what McLuhan's saying.
Well, you can make many layers of sense.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That becomes the laws.
You got to blow through to the other side first.
Through the vanishing point.
Through the wormhole.
And when you get McLuhan, what Ayn says is quite, in general mortar terms, is quite obvious why Ayn would say what they said.
Yes.
You understand why Ion says that the Dark Age wasn't in the medieval period, it was 1600 to 1900. And if you didn't have McLuhan, you'd never know why he said that. Unless you were a Marxist and believe that. Spell things out.
We went down the rabbit hole of the phonetic alphabet.
The printing press.
The mass production.
Remember, the medieval culture had the phonetic alphabet, but it was balanced.
Right. So is another way of saying that was a time period that they could keep up with it, with that kind of change in a way that made it more.
Yeah.
And we've surpassed that point. We've gone way beyond the point of
No return. Okay, well, shall we get the rewrite out?
Yes, cheer us up with rewrite, Bob.
Yes, the optimistic, hopeful voice of Ion.
Now, Bob, I do have a couple questions.
What do you say, Rock? Yeah, okay.
About rewrite.
What do you say, Rock? What? Roxy, what do you say? What did you say?
About what?
And your patterns. Yeah, what do you
say? What did
you learn?
What?
What did you learn tonight? What are you excited about? You're happy you had a good laugh?
Yes, I always enjoy it a lot.
Right.
Conversation.
What did you think of the fact McLuhan keeps repeating himself?
Well, I think that's part of his, of what he was talking about. He's, as you said, doing this cliché and archetype replay. He's a pedagogue, so he's teaching. And repetition is one of the techniques to teach.
Right.
It's always
every month he had to put out a report, but it would be 10,000 years later so he can repeat himself, because everybody had forgotten everything in that 30 days with so much media distraction. So he could get away with repeating himself because people would have forgotten what was said a month before. Because they had actually gone through, 500 years of experience in 30 days.
Right, but it's because he's using another format. He might put something new, but maybe because of this is 69 at the time. Those ideas were really, really new.
Yeah.
Although he says that's already passé, but just the fact that you say, for example, ecology was a new word. It was not really used. That impressed me.
Right. Yeah.
Because for us it's so common.
Zappa says, listen to this, Zappa's proud that on Uncle Meat, which came out in the spring of 69, he had a song title called Nine Types of Industrial Pollution. And he said, he in his experience said no one was saying that. He was the first to point out ecological matters in 68, 69 as a song title.
Oh, yes, I thought that too.
I keep wanting to say this. Did I get this out? If you read a novel, you'd get it different characters, different stories, different descriptions, nice, pretty words, aesthetically speaking. McLuhan is not going for aesthetic points. That's why I remember people complaining, he's fucking boring, he repeats himself. People wanted new data, new words, so they'd go for novelists who would present a different story and different details, and it'd be a more pleasurable consumption. But the points of the novels were puny. You know, it's like, yes. McLuhan was like a priest wearing the same clothes every day, whereas the average citizen like to have pretty different kinds of clothes every few days.
Yes, but I suppose he had to do that. Yeah. Yeah, he had to do that.
Well,
because,
he wasn't that involved.
I mean, even now, many people don't get him.
Right, because he's too austere. He wasn't engaging in fashion. He didn't need to have a different kind of suit every 3 weeks. You know, Tom Wolfe used to make fun of him. He just wore the same strap-on tie all the time.